This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast, episode number 13, being recorded on Wednesday, April the 26th, 2006.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
A seaman meets a pirate with a peg leg, a hook, and an eye patch in a marina bar. How did you end up with a peg leg? The seaman asks.
Shark bit me leg off, the pirate says.
And the hook?
Rival pirate cut off my hand with a sword, the pirate answers.
And what about the eye patch? The seaman asks.
Seagull dropping fell in my eye.
You lost your eye to a seagull dropping? The sailor asked in disbelief.
Well, it was my first day with the hook.
Clinton, liberals, dittos.
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Sonavista, my friends! Sonavista and welcome! You would manage to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic? Yes! This is Schnauzer Logic, a podcast, episode number 13, being recorded on Wednesday, April 26, 2006, and my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host, I'm your buddy, I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman pad attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, and we have got a huge schnauzer-sized show for you today. We have a giant schnauzer-sized show. Some weeks, miniature schnauzer. Some weeks, standard schnauzer. This week, a giant schnauzer. Almost sort of weirdly like mutant schnauzer. Giant atomic blast schnauzer. What, you're pointing?
I think I see a shadow.
You see a shadow?
I think I see a shadow.
Oh my god. So we're going to be robbed on the air. There he is.
There is the man.
Well, we thought we were going to be doing just a twosome today, but we've got a gruesome threesome because Sean Meehan is
kept
in the studio.
Look how we prepared for you. I sat over here.
Oh, we turned his mic on. There we go.
It's as though we knew, huh?
It was as though they knew.
There you go. Welcome. We're right in the beginning here.
Sonavista.
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 Sonavista to Parvis Fatali.
We lit up as soon as we saw you, Sean.
You're balder than you were last week.
Well,
is that possible?
I shaved.
You are smooth.
Nice. Well, no, there's a little stubble.
Is there stubble? I should have shaved, too. I'm way past stubble now.
I shaved.
Exactly where?
That's kind of confidential.
All right.
Is there sort of a...
Wait, I got to say about that first joke, first of all. That opening joke, first of all, was absolutely horrible.
Thank
but
you.
It wasn't even funny. I know it's not supposed to be funny, but it was actually sad. It was actually sad. It could have actually happened. You'll hear the joke of the podcast. It was terrible.
It's heartbreak. The room is full of Parvisa's heartbreak.
No, but you said semen like six times, and I'm thinking it's going to go that way. But you're actually... talking about a seaman.
It was a pirate joke.
The road less taken.
And he had something in his eye, Sean. He had something in his eye.
And he had a hook and a patch.
Right.
And the guy goes, well, how did you lose your eye? He goes, well, that was the first day with the hook.
It was horrible.
Listen here, Baldy. I now am on the local neighborhood watch has now written me up because you keep coming over here once a week. I picked up the newspaper, the San Jose Mercury News, and there you're on the cover.
Really?
Well, it looked like you.
It looked like everybody. Yeah, all my relatives probably. Yeah.
It was another terrorism article.
No.
Anyhow,
isn't that terrible, Sean? Isn't that a terrible thing to say?
It's cruel.
We have a great show for you guys today. First of all. Coming up shortly, remember last week how we did the stand-up comedy Tales of the Road?
Do I remember?
Yes. That was from Brian Cox. Brian with a Y, Cox with an X. Brian Cox is going to be on the show today. We're going to play some more comedy. But mostly, we'll talk about that. Also, we start a special, not a special, there's nothing special about it. We're going to start a regular weekly segment with our good friend Jason Nathanson, who's going to be here every week as he takes off on the road. And stuff and nonsense. You got a plumbing update?
I do.
We got a gas price update?
Absolutely.
Went to a wedding. We got summer movies, TV, reality, you, me,
yeah.
Sean. What could be bad? So we invite you to stick around, put up your feet, smoke them if you got them. Isn't that what you said last week?
Yeah, I don't think I said that, but I know what you mean. Oh, it's
420. 420,
dude. There you go. We are 6 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Lodge, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Sean Meehan, and Parviz Vitali. So you guys are looking great. You feeling good?
I do. I feel good.
And you?
I am feeling great. And there's one thing I wanted to mention about the 420, which I didn't realize. 420, of course, is apparently the anniversary of the Columbine shooting massacre.
Yes, it is.
No, I didn't
and
know that.
I was watching a news program.
Seven years ago, I think.
That sounds right.
Yes.
That sounds right. I was watching a news program covering some kids who maybe made some sort of threatening statements. And in these statements, I think they were at some website online. And included in the statement was the reference to 420. And the newscaster solemnly announced, and everyone knows what that means. And I thought, dude, yeah. these kids probably just want to get high.
There were two incidences this week of kids
oh,
that
by
were
the way,
caught.
You got to not pound on the table.
Sorry.
Nikita Khrushchev.
I thought it was Judge Wapner.
Yeah. Because it reverberates. I was going through last week and...
I did not pound. Why is it every time...
You did. Dude, I love you like the brother
and
I never slept
me, wait,
with. But
okay,
I,
you used to tell me... Wait,
you did then, do that, and now you're not doing that anymore.
Oh, so
it's
now I'm not going to pound on the table.
Well, you need to...
I don't pound.
When you do that... It yeah. gets picked up. We have three microphones in this room. They're all physically touching the table. Newton described it many years ago when he said, "Don't pound on the fucking table." Thank you very much. By the way, before we go any further, let's say hello to Kipadada. Oh, he was a little quiet. We're going to get him out of here real fast. Kipadada. Michael Dwerling. There we go. Dick Cheney and Harry Winnick. Okay, we're done with the whole thing. All right, good. What you were saying?
What I was saying was there were two... I believe arrests this week from kids that were going to have Columbine style massacres. I think one in I don't know where. Somewhere. Did you hear about them? Am I making this up?
I know all the energy is gone.
Okay.
I love the term Columbine style massacre.
Okay.
Because I've heard that a number of times in the news media and it sounds like old school.
Yeah.
Or like Columbine style.
See, and I always think of it as like kosher style meals.
Exactly.
Not really kosher, but it's kosher style.
And that's all I have to say.
Yo, dog, Columbine style.
You promise?
No.
Oh, man. Very nice. The other thing is, by the way, www.schnauzerlogic.com. We're a little bit off our feet here. We got started late because we were waiting for Sean. And as we were sitting around talking about what we were going to do on today's program, because we knew that we had two big guests, I looked at Parviz and I said, what do you have to bring to the table? And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, okay, me too. We got two guests and that's it. So we were counting on Sean to carry us through. And when you didn't show up until, you know, you were a little bit late today.
Yeah,
everything's okay, I'm assuming.
Everything is okay.
All right, good. So when you didn't show up, we were just kind of like, well, how long can we stretch this out? So, see, before Sean showed up, what you just did would have been really entertaining. But now...
What, hit my finger on the table?
Yeah. Not so much.
But that's the thing with us. We have like 15 things to talk about. We only get to three. Because we always veer off.
That's what good show is all about.
Just to have backups.
You pack 15 pounds worth of show into a 3-pound package.
Nice.
That's how you do it, my friend. That's all I'm saying.
It's like the 18-hour girdle.
but only worn for 12 hours.
Yeah, it was 32 hours in the 18-hour girdle. And, oh, man, that was a lot of show. Thank you.
That's
thank
shit.
You.
Shit.
Anyhow, I got a lot of comments this week asking us please not to sing anymore. That's
so you did get
say.
A lot of comments.
I did. I got
a
some
lot.
Well, any at all would be plenty, but we got more than a couple of comments asking us not to sing anymore. They were pleased that we committed.
They wanted you to be committed, and they asked us to please make sure that we leave
it. Wait. Why does it always come back to me? What did I do wrong?
Well, okay, let me refresh your memory. A little something like this. Does this sound like you?
Taco.
All right. I happen to know that you are the purveyor of this.
Taco. Need more taco.
You know, and to you people who write bad emails to us complaining about our performance, we turn those right over to Bill O'Reilly. And he gets Fox Security on that, so you can expect a visit.
www.schnauzerlogic.com, robin@schnauzerlogic.com, and of course over at myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. So you had a good week.
At work?
Yeah, you're working. We'll do a big plumbing update today.
Yes.
What? But you want to give us a little tease? Want to tease us?
I almost caused the company $10,000 worth of damage.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
What?
You want me to tell you now?
No.
Okay, that's my tease. I almost caused the company $10,000 worth of damage of a mistake that was told to me to. Somebody told me to do something, I did it, and that was a bad, bad mistake.
I was following orders, and I... Is there going to be a trial held? They're going to put you in a...
That's not a defense, as I recall.
Are they going to put you in a glass toilet?
Okay, why me again? I'm sorry.
It's a reference to World War II.
Glass
Nuremberg.
Toilet.
Nuremberg.
Yeah?
Yeah, but why does it have to be me in a toilet? Why can't I just go to jail?
It's the plumber link. It's, but you're not that kind of plumber, are you? We learned that perfectly clear. Last week.
I got a good plumbing update.
All right, that's fine. And you? You got stuff that you're?
I have no plumbing update.
What are you gonna shed on us this week?
What am I gonna? This week mostly has been dental trauma for me. A lot of drilling, a lot of pasting, a lot of gluing.
A lot of
That's
ins and
my
outs.
Job. A lot of what have yous. And I think my dentist also made a $10,000 mistake. But we'll just have to see.
How did you know it was $10,000?
Because I was explained every day after I made this.
See? There you.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry. You're right. I was explained later on.
Yeah, you were explained later on. Yeah. What
that
happened then?
That the mistake I made.
You're sending code to your friends overseas, aren't you? These are not random pats. You're sending semaphore. You're going to give us warning though, right? Because I mean,
I
even though you're going to planning on, you know, blowing your nose up, then you're
So that's what happened.
Okay.
And the week's going extremely slow for me.
Really?
As far as the job goes. I don't know anything. So there,
okay,
nothing
if
is
you're
improved.
Sitting in this room and you're surprised, I don't see any hands, dude. I don't think anybody expects you to know anything.
I know, so why are they like, they throw me out there and I'm looking for something to do and they have nothing for me to do because they have too much people.
Yeah, but you showed me a badge.
I did. Yeah, because I got yelled at the week before. Remember last week I said I got yelled at?
Yeah.
I didn't have a badge. Finally got that badge.
So you have a badge.
Now I got a badge for doing nothing.
You know, that looks like the kind of photograph that you see in a smoking gun.
I'm getting to the point. I'm getting to the point, Robin.
I'm going to put like a soft towel there. So we need like a silencer, like a wet sponge.
I'm getting to the point at my job.
Sponge.
I'm getting to the point at my job
yes?
where I'm finding things to do. I'm just like dropping tools on purpose just to pick them up.
Wow.
I'm like... pushing a plier. I got it! I got it, everybody! Just so they feel like I'm doing something. And as soon as I see somebody walk around the corner, I'll drop like a
Anybody
hammer.
Anybody ever been, like, washed out of this program?
Is that a pun?
No. I don't know. Was it?
Kind of.
No. What do they call it when you're...
Fired?
You're,
yeah.
Out of the military, right?
Right. You wash out.
Wash out.
No.
The fuck is wrong with you? You walk around now with this giant porcelain chip on your shoulder.
Was that a joke? Is that some kind of pun? You freak? What's going to happen when you need a snake, buddy? You're on our list.
I've never jiggled the handle so much in 1 week.
All right, we got. Here's what's going on. We're gonna take a break now. We got tunage this week from Minneapolis, Indiana. No, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Effingham, Illinois. Effingham. What is that? A joke? Effingham, Illinois.
It just sounds like
Los Angeles, Cal. Yeah, I know. Thanks, Beavis.
It sounds like effing. Yeah.
Here we go. All right, turn off your mic so we can get through this shit here. Cindy Alexander from L.A. Tenpenny Joke from Melbourne. Space Station 1 from Santa Cruz. The Rannings of Eva from Atlanta. And Verbal Kent from Rotterdam. So play a little tunage, come back on the other side, and I think we'll be talking with Brian Cox. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Sean Meehan, and Parviz Vitali. We are each separately and together inviting you to please stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Left a note on the refrigerator door. Sat around all day so you could stand me up. Did you think that I would hang around for you forever? I don't want to be unhappy anymore. I don't want to do everything you want me to do. I think you thought that I would come undone without you. Oh, take it for granted. Why don't you put up with all these broken promises?
Feel that in every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Presto!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We are 20 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Sean Meehan, Parviz Vitali. Brian Cox? No Brian Cox.
There's no Brian Cox
here. There's no Brian Cox.
I saw no Brian Cox.
We're in a Cox-free zone, my friends.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far, but
we should have used Brian Cox's name in the opening joke.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of semen?
Go ahead. What?
Just saying.
How would that work?
Brian Cox walks into a bar and sees a pirate.
Yeah.
And he sees a pirate with a pegged leg and a patch and a hook.
Yeah.
And says, you know, why do you have the pegged leg? And the pirate says, oh, because I was eaten by a shark. And then Brian Cox says, well, then why do you have the hook? Oh, because I got my hand eaten by an alligator. And then he goes, well, what?
Who goes?
Brian Cox says,
yeah.
Brian Cox says, what about the patch in your eye? He goes, well, I got bird poop on my eye. He goes, well, why do you have a patch? Well, because just yesterday I just got the hook. Right?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Do you see
yeah.
how that
yeah,
works?
Yeah, 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 right. You know, I had an idea this week.
You know what's sad is that I'm here every week on time, and I think Robin's more disappointed about that. He sees me, and he'll grab me and he'll say, that's okay, that's okay. I was just looking for Sean.
Yeah, really. It looks like a hug. I'm just trying to move you out of the way. I'm trying to move you out of my line of sight. Hey, I can't see past you. You're blocking the sunlight. Maybe Sean is coming.
I move him in case the shooter's there. Duck behind him. Confuse the shooter.
W.
I'm getting my foreign policy from God.
There, yeah, that's right. And the oil comes from the dinosaurs, but the foreign policy comes from God.
Yeah.
I'd go the other way. We might be doing a bit better.
Yeah, it's kind of unfair that God put all the oil under the Arabs. And now it's up to George Bush to help God set it right.
How are you doing with the oil situation?
You know, I have actually made some changes. One of the things that Michelle and I, my wife and I, did last week was, and we wanted to do this for a long time, get a couple of decent bikes. We got a couple of decent bikes, we got some lights, and we just decided, you know what, around town, it's spring, summer, fall in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have temperature extremes, really, where we live. We don't live in any sort of Arctic tundra or a desert. We live in a very moderate climate.
Sure.
And
Temperate.
A temperate climate. And we should actually enjoy that. It'll be good for our lives. And so we're going to go ahead and do that. And
how long do you think that'll go for?
Why, it's the update phone.
No, you didn't yet.
I'm not even sure if it'll really start, but they're chained. They're chained in our yard, and they look great out there. They just look fabulous. They're like two pieces of art.
And they'll rust, you know, with a kind of get a nice patina on them.
Oh, that'll be fabulous.
There you go. We are 23 minutes into this hour of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast, and I'm hoping that I answer the phone without bothering to see who it is. So I'm hoping that the person on the line right now is Brian Cox, and let's punch down the button and see whether we should say Sona Vista to Brian Cox.
You're right.
Yay.
Another winner.
A psychic.
How are you? Brian, welcome to Schnauzer Logic, the podcast.
Thank you very much.
So
it is really nice to be part of your podcast.
Well, yeah. you're very kind to say that now.
Judge later.
But we'll give you an opportunity to make that determination like a seminar. Afterwards, we'll give you a questionnaire, and you can decide whether it was nice or not. Brian,
well, that's good. A test.
Brian is sort of the voice, among other things, and also a stand-up comedian of some note from our brothers up north, the Great White North. And I met Brian through this website that I've mentioned on the air before, where folks share their voices with each other. And Brian has his own podcast of comedians. Why don't you give a little plug, and then we can get into what we're doing here.
Oh, well, what we're doing up here is we're trying to give the not the big comics up in Canada, you know, like your Norm MacDonalds and your Jim Carreys and that. But it's the real road warriors we're trying to kind of give a little extra plug to. You know, the guys that are out there every night playing every small town, every hall that holds 50 people, type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's your history, Brian? Because your website talks about how it really all did start at a small 50,000-watt station, which is, of course, not very small. That's actually pretty nice. I'm guessing Clear Channel, maybe.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was in a really small town, and, you know, start off doing all nights and then working into... But the reason I got into radio is because I was doing impersonations at a local fair, and some radio guys saw me and said, hey, why don't you get into radio, because you could use your impersonations in the radio
so
business.
The comedy came before the radio.
At 12 years old.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You were doing, what kind of impersonations were you doing at 12?
Oh, I was doing Well, there were some local, like one of the ex-prime ministers up here, Diefenbaker.
Okay.
And Maxwell Smart.
Oh, sure. Don Knotts.
Yeah.
Don Adams.
And Batman and stuff like this. But my voice has changed now, you know. Like,
you didn't sound like this like, at 12.
At 12. No, I didn't quite sound like this at 12.
Your Ethel Merman impression is gone.
I started doing that, and then I got into radio, and right out of high school kind of thing, you know.
Oh, so it's a classic kind of story.
Yeah.
And you were a DJ kind of thing, or you had a little talk, little music mixture together?
Yeah, actually, it worked. I worked my way into doing a talk show up here and then producing a talk show. And then I found out that in radio, you can't really grow old as a jock.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, what's a good avenue? So I thought I'd aim into the production end of things and do commercials, you know, that type of thing.
And you've got your own business where you do that kind of production and promotion.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
should I give it a little plug?
Give it a little plug.
CoxMarketing.ca.
And CA stands for, Canada.
Canada, yeah, or California. I don't know. Yeah,
that's what we're thinking. By the way, we got Sean Meehan and Parviz Vitali. You guys need to say hi to Brian.
Hi, Brian. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys.
Brian, I actually
How's it going?
Do very good, Brian. I actually do an impression of Don Knotts if you haven't heard it before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
My friends Sean and Robin are not.
Yeah, but he said Maxwell Smart.
Lot, I know,
but
they sounds a lot like my Elvis.
The fat Elvis or the dead Elvis?
Yeah, it's hard to do the fat one.
That was my best Don Knotts. Thank you.
Yeah.
Rigor is set in on his Don Knotts.
Let me ask you a little bit about comedy. I'm guessing you've had an opportunity to work on both sides of the border. You notice anything different about either comedy or the audiences in the United States versus those folks in Canada?
Actually, I think Canadian comedians and in general up here take a few more chances with material than the U.S. comics do. You know, I think they tend to walk the edge a little bit more. Like you look at Jim Carrey and God, who else can I think of? You know,
well, I mean, all the guys from SCTV, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's sort of...
I used to work with all those guys, you know, back in the day.
Sure.
You know, and they were doing their show up in a place called Edmonton.
Right.
Yeah, and I was their booth announcer.
Oh, is that right?
Really?
I was a guy saying, coming up next on SCTV, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
Very cool.
Whoa, yeah.
Johnny LaRue's street beef. Just say that for me.
John Candy. We used to go for dinner, and John would order two dinners, you know.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny. But,
I mean, a tremendous amount of talent. You've got all of SCTV. You've got Kids in the Hall. You've got all the individual performers, right, that you mentioned. You've got Jim Carrey and I mean, David Steinberg, you know. Talking really about old school.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. That goes way back. And that's just comedy. And you want to get into music? Well, that's a whole different thing.
Absolutely.
You know? Really? Yeah.
So are you managing comedians? I mean, you've got a couple of different things. You're giving us audio every week, or this Road Stories, which is a kind of audio book that you're putting together, I guess, or a journal, or how do you describe it best?
Well, it comes from a book that I wrote, you know, Robin, and it's just stories that guys have told me of stuff that's happened to them on the road. And stuff that's actually happened to me with other guys. Well, we're on the road, that type of thing.
Some good and some not so good.
Yeah, really. And there's some stories I can't even put on any type of radio station.
Yeah.
You know? But they're in the book. And I still haven't found a publisher for it, but I'm still looking, you know.
Well, maybe we'll get somebody interested by listening to little audio excerpts here.
Hey, you never know.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, are you still performing? Because people.
Oh yeah.
All right. And
you're
still loving it.
Yeah, I'm out and about, and I'm hopefully going to make it down to Vegas. And I try to get down there about three times a year.
Very nice.
And split my time between the MGM Grand, the Riviera, and the Tropicana.
And you've actually opened for some pretty interesting acts.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you. Opening for like Tom Jones.
Yes. What's that all about?
Well. Oh, it was just like the biggest thrill. He actually fired his comedian, okay? He had a comedian opening for him. And he was coming to my hometown, And I got a mad call from an agent going, Tom Jones needs an opening act. Are you interested? And I went, duh. Like, I don't know. Is it the Tom Jones?
Good question.
Yeah.
Or is from the romance novel.
Because, you know, I mean, this isn't a very big town where I live. So, you know, it could have been an impersonator.
That's right.
So, anyway, I said, sure. He says, okay, he needs you down there tonight. So I went down there, and I found out the reason he fired the other comedian is the other comedian was going on stage saying, well, Tom's getting a little bit older now. He's stuffing a gray sock down his pants.
And wow.
Apparently, you're not supposed to bite the hand that feeds you.
Oh. Not only is it not a great joke, but oh, man.
Wait a second. Yeah. Wait a second. That makes it better.
It does. It improves it. Oh, yeah. Probably very little talk of the little girdle or corset or whatever Tom wears.
So you got a chance to open for Tom.
So anyway, I got to open for him here and in another town, and then we went to Minneapolis, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, what cool sounds.
Engelbert Humperdinck, Wayne Newton. I've opened for some decent people, you know?
What fun.
And it's just nice to be able to rub shoulders with that crowd, you know? God.
You ever open up for a Carrot Top?
No. Thank God.
I like you more already.
Yeah.
You've just endeared yourself to all of us.
Why did you? Where did that come from?
Because Carrot Top's always in Vegas.
Well, my friend Jan opened for Carrot Top.
Okay, I would have asked Jan the same thing.
I try to stay on the other side of Vegas.
Yeah, yeah, that's
the non-Carrot Top side of Vegas. No vegetables allowed.
I can't even walk in the Luxor anymore.
I think he actually has a mime opening for him this week. I don't know.
<That's funny.
laughs> Oh, boy, those guys deserve each other. But, Oh, yeah, that's Carrot Top in the background.
So you do stand up. Obviously, you've got a great voice, and you do, I'm guessing, all kinds of commercials and production and sound that people need for just about any kind of product these days.
Right.
Which do you enjoy more?
Well, it's kind of a toss up. I enjoy the comedy because it gives you a really nice release to get out there and start talking about the things that really bug you. And it's all the stuff you can't say on radio. You know what I mean? You can get away with more stuff on stage than you ever could on radio.
Right.
And but the commercials is a nice creative kind of outlet because it gives you a chance to write something within, if somebody wants a 15-second, say, bit, you've got to write it in 15, you know, and do it in 15 seconds.
Sure.
And it's rather taxing on your creativity, but it does make you sharper, you know, if you have to sit and write something for a 30-second commercial, and it's got to be funny, you know? That's a challenge, and I got to tell you, it is a lot of fun.
What sort of the more interesting products that you might have worked on along the way? Anything stick out?
Let's see. Worked on a thing just the other day for iFungus was pretty good.
Is that from Apple?
iFungus. Yeah.
Is that a new product from Apple?
There's a company, which I shouldn't mention, but anyway, yeah, there's a company, and they're bringing out a contact lens, and you use this softener or this liquid with it, with your contact lens, and it causes eye fungus. So there's going to be a mass class action suit going on in the States about this thing. So,
okay.
So I got to do the commercial for that. That was fun.
Oh, I know all about that.
This sounds like a stock tip. I feel like this should...
No. This is Bausch & Lomb, I think.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. You said it. That's
oh, yeah.
Right.
No, I can say it. Sure, yeah. It's been all over the newspaper. In fact, I got an email from them because I had ordered a free sample of some Renew fluid.
And yeah, Renew with Moisture Lock.
There
yeah.
you go. That's right. So you did the voice for the Renew with Moisture Lock or the don't use it anymore.
For the law firm.
You did the voice for the law firm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent.
So for all our listeners out there with Bausch & Lomb in your portfolio, sell.
Oh man, and let's see. I'm just trying to see what else. Well, you know, there's just. tons of stuff. Like I've auditioned a million times and got a few little things with Disney Pixar, you know?
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Yeah, for one of their video games called Cars.
Oh, for the big John Lasseter film that's coming out this summer?
Yeah, Cars, right?
Right.
Yeah, so they wanted some guys to try out for that, so I tried. I got a few lines out of that. There's a movie coming out, too, that I'll be getting some parts in. It's an animated cowboy-type movie out of Germany.
Brokeback Mountain.
And Yeah, Brokeback Zim Mountain.
That's okay. Just to hold on for a second, Brian. That's the difference between a comedian and a plumber. Right? A plumber mentions a film that didn't win an award 4 months ago. A comedian. That's all I'm saying.
Turns it into gold. Comedy gold, baby.
But you keep working on that parrot joke, Parviz. I like the way that you did that.
Hey, work Carrot Top into it. Yeah.
There you go. Carrot Top in Brokeback Mountain. Say it even that.
Yeah, the boys will be laughing now, won't they? Brokeback Mountain coming, starting. Yeah.
Oh, you got that going on there.
In a world.
Oh yeah, I got the movie trailer thing happening.
In a world.
In a world.
Oh. Oh.
Well, there's two cowboys on either side of the range, staring at each other. Yeah. Right.
Oh man.
Nicely done.
Excellent. Excellent.
Oh,
now, did you take training for that? I mean, obviously you've got great voice, and you said you started playing with your voice when you were, what, 12? Probably even younger than that. Have you done training along the way, or is mostly self-taught?
No, it's all self-taught.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, people, I'm a huge fan of voice actors. You know, here in the state, folks like Billy West and Phil Lamar, there's just a ton of them. And a lot of them have lamented the fact that more and more famous actors get these voice acting roles because the producers feel like the public will be more comfortable with voices they recognize instead of folks who actually know how to voice act. Have you noticed that changing in your own career?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know, like the companies don't understand. I mean, they think, sure, they get Charlie Sheen to voice their commercial, they're going to sell a lot of product. But you know what? You know what happens is that people sit out there and they listen to the commercial and they go, oh, who is that? Who is that? Oh, God, I know that voice. Oh, who is that? And they don't pay attention to the commercial.
Well, you know, a lot of times when you're watching a program with Charlie Sheen, you're also thinking, oh, who is that?
Yeah.
And you're not paying attention.
And Charlie Sheen, he basically is a voice actor now because there's so much Botox that's frozen his face into this bizarre rictus of blandness.
Oh, yeah.
That, it's
and
really...
I understand he's using all his money to buy porno now, so...
Well, at least it's going to a good cause.
Going to a good cause, sure.
So are you going to we'll hear you in the game for Cars. That's supposed to be a huge hit this summer. Well, congratulations with that. Hope it brings even more work for you.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. You know,
we appreciate that. And I explained to the audience a little bit that last week you had posted some information over it. I was at Radio Daddy, I think, is the voice site, and. We may actually take advantage of your voice down the road. Ask her a little favor. I'm thinking that we're going to maybe do a little radio sitcom. We're going to sort of write it on a weekly basis and then, like, do little bits. Because I've been watching more television and I realize, you know, it's the kind of thing, the difference between art and not art is when you look at something and you say to yourself, oh, I can do that. Well, it's not art. And so I'm looking at television and I'm going, oh, I can do that. You've been involved in writing television programs by any chance?
No, a little bit. There's one up here called Corner Gas.
All right.
And it's about life on the prairies. And it should be coming. I understand Chris Rock was really interested about bringing it into the States.
So, oh, excellent.
So it's going to be another import like Kids in the Hall. Okay.
It's too bad that there's a lot of that stuff doesn't make it over here. There's a tremendous amount. I years ago, before they had little satellite dishes, they had the great big satellite dishes, I had one of those 3-meter dishes, and I used to watch CBC all the time. And you realize that the news and the entertainment, there was a nightly news program, news magazine program, which was like 60 minutes, except it focused on a real issue every night without the boredom of McNeil Lair, but it really got into depth and the entertainment programs. And I think recently I looked at sort of the, you know, 50 years of the best of CBC comedy and 50 years of the, you know what I'm talking about there.
Yeah, yeah.
Some incredible things.
Like there was a group, a couple of guys up here called Wayne and Schuster.
Sure.
And they did some really nice groundbreaking comedy for the rest of us, you know. But as a stand-up comic in Canada, I really have to say that most of the people, the comics I know, want to go to the States.
Is that still the case, you think? Yeah.
Yeah, you have to go there to make it. So doing stand-up comedy in Canada is a lot like being, I guess, in the witness protection program. Yeah. So
you have a nice house, a wife. You know.
I was hoping for the farm league analogy. That's got to hurt, though, all the way to witness protection.
Yeah.
Hey, don't tell any jokes, so, and nobody gets height.
Yeah, anything you guys want, I'll record it up here and send it down to you.
Well, that's terrific. And not only are you just genuinely a funny guy, but also you're clearly a great sport, because last week we played the first part of Road Story. I had not previewed it for either myself or the two guys sitting here in the studio with me. And So, which was fine. And of course, the production values on everything you do are, you know, A++++.
Top notch.
And they just sound wonderful. And as you started to listen to it, I thought, when is it getting to the actual story? And I actually thought it would have been, you would have gone, well, we're out of time this week. No stories this week, but next week. and so we had a little fun at your expense. And Brian sent me an email and said to me, how did you like it? And I thought, well, I got to be honest with you. And I said just what I just said right now, which is you kind of didn't get to the point. And you said, you know, it builds up as it goes along. And I said, well, I'd love to interview you and I'd love to keep playing these things, because it's a little something different to put on the show every week. So every week we're going to do it. I think you sent out episode number 8 today, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Yeah.
And so we got plenty of material for the upcoming weeks. I want to thank you, Brian, so very much for being on the show today. And why don't you plug the website one more time, and we'll make sure we get a link to it on the Schnauzer Logic blog page.
Okay, I'll give you my comedy website.
That's
okay?
Good enough.
Now you got to do that HTTP little dots and // thing, okay?
All right.
Okay. You do that, and then go web.mac.com/comedyguy. There you go.
Dot. And is there another?
Dot.
So, www. Dot. No.
No www.
Oh, man.
Okay. HTTP.
:// web.
/, and then just write web.
Dot.
Dot. Mac.
Dot.
M-A-C. Dot. Com.
Dot.
/.
Oh, okay.
Comedy guy.
With a
comedy
C
guy.
And a G.
There you go.
All right, cool.
One word?
Yes, one word. What is this?
Comedy guy, Big Bri. Yeah. So.
All right. Brian, you're a good sport and a funny guy, and we really, really appreciate you having on here. And we'll play Road Story episode number 2 right now. So
Number 2, and give a little, there's little tips on how to become stand-up comics in those road stories, so you got to listen for it. So.
Can't beat it.
Brian, oh, man, thank you very much.
Oh, our pleasure.
Thank you,
Brian.
See you later, Brian.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, and without further ado, here's a little bit of road story number 2.
Road stories.
Crack me up.
Oh, yeah.
They're funny.
Keeps me entertained.
Funny, funny comedy.
Those tree-hugging sissies.
And now your host, Brian Cox.
Welcome to Road Stories of the Real Highway Comics. Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Cox, and I'm a stand-up comic. Now, here are some road stories and tips from the world of stand-up comedy. People come up to you at the end of a show. This is when you're a comic, of course. And say stuff like, hey, I got a joke you can use in your act. Now, folks, this pisses a comic off. Don't do this. For 2 reasons. 1, he's probably heard the joke. And number 2, it's like saying to the comic, hey, you were funny, but here's something funnier. Or you hear this at the end of a show, usually after a few beer. A guy comes up to you, hi, my name's Bob. I really make people laugh at parties with all my jokes and stuff. I could be a stand-up comic. Well, folks, let me tell you, doing stand-up with your buddies is night and day different than doing it in front of a live audience that's sitting there with the attitude, okay, let's see, is this guy funny? Can he make me laugh? Now, if you want to get up in front of a live audience, here's what you do. Write 3 to 5 minutes of material. Now, what's funny, right? It's the stuff that makes you laugh. Practice in front of a mirror. Then, when you look and feel comfortable with the material, make your way down to a local comedy outlet. They usually have things called an open mic night, and that's a chance for you to get up and just give it a shot. Now, here's a road story for you that actually happened on the road. Big Daddy Taz, who tells me you might have seen him on an episode of the Drew Carey Show, and another comic by the name of Tim, were traveling on a rather grueling leg of a road trip. Tim had a bad habit of getting into the car and falling asleep right away. You see, he doesn't drive at all, so the other guy had to do the driving. Now, as I'm sure you know, it can be pretty tiring if that happens. You need conversation to keep you sharp and awake. Taz is whipping down the road, 8 hours of looking at Sleeping Beauty and driving it past. Taz had to do something to get Tim awake. They were coming up behind a semi. As the two got closer, Taz noticed that the truck was actually towing the cab, the tractor, of another truck. The huge grill of the truck that was being towed was facing Taz's car. All the lights were flashing in four-way mode. Taz pulled up as close as he could to the front of that truck, now traveling at great speed down the highway. Taz looked at Sleeping Tim, looked at the front of the speeding towed truck, grabbed Tim by the arm with great force and yelled, "Oh my God! Look, Tim, we're gonna die!" Tim jumped awake. Oh, he was faced with the semi-flashing lights bracing for impact, and he was screaming, "Ah!" Then he realized what was going on. Several words were exchanged with Big Daddy Taz. Then Tim said, "Oh, thank God I'm wearing my dark brown pants. But can we stop anyway?" There you go, folks. Just one more true road story. Join us next week for more tips on how to become a stand-up comic and more stories from the real Highway Comics. I'm Brian Cox.
There you go.
Thank you.
Oh, come on. That was good.
I didn't say it was bad. I just said thank you.
Why'd you ask how long it was?
He was nailed. I thought there was attorney-client privilege. I didn't think you could divulge that.
How did you ask how long it was?
Curiosity.
But he understands comedy. He gave the same advice that Kip Adada gave a couple weeks ago, which is doing comedy is not making your friends laugh. It's not making your wife laugh. That's definitely not comedy. No, wait, maybe that
depends
is.
Depends on when you make her laugh.
All right, listen, we want to thank Brian Cox. It is web.mac.com/comedyguy, and he's got his own podcast where he has stand-ups, sort of lesser-known stand-ups, the lesser-known, the Lesser Antilles, from...
Sorry.
You're a mess. Let's see, you've coughed, you've sneezed, you've pounded the table.
I didn't sneeze.
Not yet.
I almost sneezed.
It's early, my friend. We love you. Give us a little...
Andy! Wasn't that funny, though?
When he performance anxiety.
I was talking to you guys. He goes, "Oh, that wasn't very good." I'm like, "All right, Brian, thanks." That's doing Don Knotts.
Well, I know, but that was... He meant Don Adams.
I understand.
You said
Don Knotts.
I screwed it up.
And the wheels are turning in my head.
A little grease, my friend. A little WD-40. Little lithium. I don't mean the lubricant. I mean the bipolar medicine. See how I did that thing there with the... You like that? All right. He's got good voice.
Oh, he's got an outstanding
and I think,
voice.
And I think
he's
he
got pipes.
And he understands the business.
Yeah.
I recommend that you go to his website, which is web.mac.com/comedyguy. As I will have the link up there. And subscribe to the podcast, which are, I think there's only 3 episodes so far, but they are Canadian comedians. And they're really, it's terrific. They're a little bit longer segments, and they're really, really, really terrific. I think it's hard to do a verbalization of a book or a journal or something of that nature. And so we give mad props to Brian for doing that, and we've got we'll do more episodes.
If he had a name actor like Charlie Sheen reading it, though, I think that would sell it.
But what do you think of the idea of doing writing a little sitcom?
I've wanted to do that for something. I think we talked about that years
ago. I think we need to do a sitcom.
At the station, yeah.
I think we need to do a sitcom. I think we need to. We'll maybe during the show today we'll start to put together some ideas, some premise, right? And then we'll like each week we can like write a little script. We can find people to voice it for us, and then kind of look how it goes. Produce it, little kind of 2-minute pieces of. Because man, they suck. You know, you're a big fan of Phil Hendry.
Oh yeah.
You know Phil Hendry?
Yeah.
And he's now in this program called Teachers.
Oh, really? He's got a regular gig now.
Got a regular square gig. Oh, I'm sorry I erased it. Oh, it was on the other night, and I TiVo'd it.
See, that looks like a horrible show to me. I was not aware that he was on it.
It's painful. And I think they've now finished 4 episodes.
What channel?
It's about...
It's NBC,
it's NBC.
Yeah. Oh,
so check your local listings.
All right.
Around here, it's on channel... F. No.
133.
Yeah, it's NBC.
Oh, cool.
And it's horrible. And they've gotten to the point now where he sort of plays like a, I think he's a, I don't know, he's a science teacher or a math teacher, something like that. He's basically got the sidekick role. You know, he's not the young skinny girl or the young skinny guy or the, you know, the funny black kid or the older, you know, weird principal. He's the fat guy, you know, and so he's comic relief. But last night's episode, they got him doing the Phil Hendry show. He's doing voices on the telephone to help one of the characters, which means to me that 4 weeks into that, the writers have run out of material. And they're now basically going, anybody juggle?
My personal opinion, the time was to do it 2 weeks earlier.
Absolutely. All right, here's what we're going to do. Take a break, play a song, come back, talk to Jason Nathanson. You are listening to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Parviz Vitali, and... Sean Meehan inviting you all to please stick around.
Viva, viva, viva la radio.
Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic.
Honey, you're the fire that's starting me. Gonna make you mine, yeah, turn on me. Shy. Cherry red lips and my silky thighs. I lied to my mama, said I'm staying with a friend. I'm going home with you, no need to pretend. Love you real gentle, then I rock your heart. I love you real gentle, then I rock your heart. I rock your heart. Feel my fire, look into my eyes. Feel my fire.
Hello. I don't cry, baby, I warned you before. Said I'd take your soul and a whole lot more.
I never made a promise that I didn't want to keep. You're dealing with a wolf, honey, not a little sheep. It's too late now, there's no trying to get free. I said you'd be mine eternally.
flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We are 56 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, host, buddy, and pal. Straight white Buddhist vegetarian, lesbian fraternity boy, trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. Joined by Sean Meehan, son of Ista.
Son of Ista, my friend.
And Parviz Vitali, son of Ista.
Son of Ista, Robin.
I feel like I got you hamstrung here. You're sitting on your hands. You can't...
I know. I'm on eggshells with you guys.
No. We just...
I can't cough. I can't touch the table.
It's like
I
Simon,
can't sneeze.
It's like evil Simon Says. Simon Says, hold it in! Oh, man. Well, you guys know, I don't know, you asked me beforehand. Sean knows we've got a good friend, Jason Nathanson, who we've talked about before. He's been instrumental in helping us to do audio for this particular program. And Jason really lives, eats, breathes, sleeps radio. He's one of these guys that just loves radio. And we met him over at KSCO, and he was a board op who was also doing a program. Long story there, may be able to get into that with him. But he moved on from KSCO. He took a position at KGO up in San Francisco, a clear channel, big signal, West Coast flamethrower, as they say, and then returned to Los Angeles to join the staff over at KFI, which is where Phil Hendry started out. A great place for interesting, innovative talk radio. And I got a message from Jason recently that said that he was going to be taking a sabbatical, I guess is probably the best way to put it, and taking a road trip. And he was going to be sort of going out looking across America, you know, for the great American dream. And he was not using a motorcycle because he didn't have balance. But otherwise, he was going to do that. So on a weekly basis, we're going to be doing a little discussion with our good friend Jason Nathanson. And, of course, being in radio, we've got theme music. So this is our new segment theme music for the Where in the World is our good friend Jason Nathanson.
Yeah. Well, he sneaks around the world from Vienna to Carolina. Sticky fingered Filcher from Berlin down to Belize. Take you for a ride on a slow boat to China. Tell me, where in the world? The bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van. He flies around the globe, bang a flim flam every nation. He's a double feeling diva with a taste for thievery. Itineraries loaded up with moving violations. Tell me, where in the world is the bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van?
Tell me,
where in the world is the bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van?
And let us say, son of Easter to the bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van, Jason Nathanson. Welcome to Schnauzer Logic.
Robin! How's it going?
Thanks, dude. Anybody? Somebody else better take over the interview. I can't hear now. I'm just.
Yeah.
All I hear is Pete Townsend singing.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be Alan Dershowitz. I was waiting for the.
How are you? So you're not on the road yet, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm in beautiful North Hollywood, California right now.
Yeah. Starlets? You see any starlets?
Yeah. Just banged Lindsay Lohan. Not that good.
Okay, who hasn't? Okay, me, I guess.
Go quickly to the free clinic. That's all I'm saying.
You said freak clinic.
She's not Nicole Richie. Come on.
So tell people a little bit what you're going to be doing here. And obviously, you know, using the rules of journalism, why?
Well, I am, as you so deftly described, ditching the whole radio thing and taking off in a 1988 VW Westphalia camper van. Ooh. To go travel around the country for about 4 months, I'm thinking. Depends on if gas prices keep going up, it's probably going to cut it down to 3.
All right.
And for why, I don't know. Why do we do anything?
Usually to get laid. Anybody else? Yeah.
He just had Lindsay Lohan, and now he needs a shot. So I think
So maybe he doesn't want to go now.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I mean, and you're familiar with this, I'm sure, Robin, a little midlife crisis for me, I guess, a little early. And I just I've never really traveled anywhere. I've never really seen most of the country. So I figure now's a good time. I'm young, I'm unattached, and going to go see what's out there.
Now, is this something...
I haven't been to New York, Washington, D.C., Mount Rushmore. You know, all the things most people do over their summer vacations when they're kids. I haven't done any of that.
Gotcha. Now, were you like a fan of these kind of road pictures when you were younger? Did that have a romantic notion for you?
Eh, kind of. I mean, I'm not going to say that that's inspired me. I can't really think of one that really there was that one with Seth Green where they went on a river trip without a paddle, I think. That was a good one.
But yeah, no, from your childhood, right.
That's not really the inspiration, I guess. I did a lot of camping as a kid with my parents. I always enjoyed that. And so this is definitely a romantic notion behind this,
right,
which I'm feeling is going to get...
So you're not looking for a one-armed man.
What was that?
You're not looking for a one-armed man.
No, I'm not.
No, I don't think he goes that way.
As Robert Blake said it best after his acquittal, I'm going to go do a little cowboying. play pool with a one-armed lady at a bar somewhere.
I knew how to quit you.
And you know, little Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah,
that comes up. Sure, why not? I'm up for anything. New experience is what this thing is all about.
So, how do you plan a trip like this? Do you just go to AAA and you tell them you're looking for yourself, and they go, "Oh yeah, we got the Soul Seeker package number 4B."
Oh yeah, you stand in line behind the guy with the ponytail. There's a whole bunch of them there.
Don't we all?
I don't. You know, I haven't really done a lot of planning. To tell you the truth, I have in my mind kind of a route that I want to go through, and I have a whole bunch of maps and books and stuff. And you know, with the internet these days and a GPS system, you don't really have to worry too much about getting lost or not knowing where you're going to be. So I think I'm just going to kind of take it day by day, knowing where I want to hit within a couple of days. Like if I'm in New Orleans, I'm then going to go on eventually to, Mississippi and keep going like that.
All right. So just sort of basically the cardinal directions on the compass right now are that and a good single malt are all you need to guide you through the night.
Pretty much. A lot of drinking, and we'll see what comes of it. You know, basically stopping at the best whorehouses along the way, too.
He didn't learn his lesson with Lindsay.
Yeah, we'll add sound effects later.
There's something I have to tell you. After years ago, when the sort of the band broke up and you left the station and you went up to KGO, we lost touch for a while, and I was talking to Robin one day, and I said, you know who I was listening to the other evening? And this will mean something to Bay Area residents. There's a major radio personality and sort of a cultural personality here called Ray Taliaferro. He's a very left-leaning gentleman who has a program on KGO. And I was listening to the show, and I said, you know, you won't believe this, but you got to start listening to Ray Taliaferro. He's suddenly organized and is kind of making sense. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden his show is listenable. And that's when Robin told me, well, you know who started producing his show? And it was you. You careened in the madman.
Wow.
You reined him in. And you made it all happen, and his show got better. And then when you left,
it's descended into madness.
It's right back to suckage.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to take credit for that pony and riding him until he knew what he was doing. But he's been doing radio for 25 years or something.
But you brought guests to his program.
Right.
You realized that there was a three-hour time difference, and when he was getting to the end of his shift, you could actually get people who were awake on the East Coast.
I did, and that was a lot of fun, and I spoke with a lot of interesting people.
That was fucking brilliant is what it was.
It really was, and it really improved the quality of a major radio program in a major radio market at the most successful radio station in the United States.
And at that point, you say, okay, I've done everything I can do, and pack it up and kill yourself. I mean, there's nothing else for me to do in radio. That's it.
Or maybe become a plumber. Not a residential plumber.
Wait, a
commercial plumber. Only a commercial.
Hey, Jason, in 1991, I took a road trip myself. I was out for 5 weeks. Started here, and I went up to, went across to Memphis, Tennessee, up to St. Louis, and back home. That's about as far as I got. and I saw a bunch of, I saw where Kennedy, I had a Escort, Ford Escort. And yeah, so I had to pull over.
Yeah, you can laugh at him.
Yeah.
That's acceptable.
Yeah, I had a little Ford Escort, and I had my luggage in the back, and I slept at Motel 6 or KOA camps and stuff like that. And I met a bunch of people, and I saw a bunch of things I'd never seen in my life, and that was it.
You know what Kip Adada
says?
That's
what I want to do. I want to meet a bunch of people and get a kind of different view, because I've lived in California all my life.
Yeah.
And when you have, you kind of, at a point, it makes you wonder, okay, who are the rest of these people who voted for Bush?
I mean, well, you know what's funny? You'll meet them.
Kind of people out there.
And when you say you're from San Jose, half of them won't know. And then you have to say, well,
he's not. He's from Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. All right. So, well, when I was going, San Jose, nobody knew. But you have to say I'm from the Bay Area. Okay. And then when they ask, when they write it down, it's San and it's H-O-S-E.
Yes.
So they are absolutely clueless.
I think they've probably heard of
it. Everybody knows Spanish these days.
That's right. See? This is back in 91.
So you ever take a drive across country?
Yes, I did. And one of the drives was in that same region. I drove out to Memphis, Tennessee.
Wow.
And I drove down.
I was with Sean.
I drove down to New Orleans. And I had a wonderful experience along the way. Southern hospitality is that is actually not a myth,
mm-hmm.
but Southerners are not always as, I don't know, I don't want to say as bright as focused, maybe, as people on the coast. So I went into this, you know, all the way down the highway from Memphis. I also stopped in Arkansas, which was kind of interesting. It was 92, and of course,
the year.
Clinton.
Okay.
Yeah, Clinton was actually the president-elect at
gotcha.
That time. And it was a very happening, busy little town. But every place, every roadside cafe is basically a catfish vendor. And I really despise catfish. I mean, it's a disgusting, insipid, bottom-feeding, it's awful. And they have it in all different manners, prepared all different ways. And eventually, I had to relent and get some catfish because I was hungry and I stopped at a place that only sold catfish in various different forms. So I was really looking forward to the various other side dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes out with my catfish. And I forget how I got it. I didn't really care. But I wanted these French fries. And I was all I really planned on eating. And she brings out this huge pile of blackened French fries. And she says, "Oh, honey, you know what? These fries are a little burned, so I gave you a few more." And I dutifully thanked her in kind of a slack-jawed way. "Boy, this food is shit, but so here's an extra portion just for you." And I thought, what did I ever do to you? Could you just tell I'm from California? Do you just hate me on sight?
What's going on there, dude?
Here?
Yeah.
It's actually starting to rain.
Is that what we're hearing on the phone?
No, you're hearing a plane, actually.
Oh. So guys, watch out for the French fries.
Where was that so I can mark that off my list of things to go
but,
see?
But get a beignet when you go to the Big Easy.
The ball?
I'm actually very excited about going to New Orleans because I got a chance to go there 2 years ago for a friend's wedding. So I got to see it before it was basically destroyed. So I'm very, that's one of the places I'm most interested in going back to and seeing because it was a great city.
It really
and
is.
The hospitality was, I mean, it was definitely a different, slower, nicer way of life.
So is this
for, you know, the week I was there.
Is this a coast-to-coast kind of thing, or are you going to basically do the drunken walk across the country? I mean, some days you'll just double back on yourself and...
Yeah, maybe. The basic plan is to kind of go in a box. Starting out, I'll start from here, I'll head north. I have to go to a bachelor party in Vegas on the 18th of May.
Vegas, so baby.
Yeah. The trip is going to start on the 1st of May. And then
May,
so I'll
baby.
Go up the coast a little, loop back down to Vegas, baby.
Vegas, and baby.
Then, thank you. And then go east along the southern route. And then get to the coast, and then go up the coast, and then go come back across the northern route. Go to Canada a little bit. Get some socialized health care.
Wait a second.
That's right. Your teeth will need to be fixed at that point. So
you don't actually leave the fucking state. This is a cross-country trip that takes place within, like, one of those parents won't leave the block. Well, you can only drive around the block. Sorry.
And I got a GPS for it too.
But they're gonna hold up signs like on the side of the road that says like, you know, North Dakota. And you know, like your mom will be wearing the hat of the state of North Dakota, and you know, it'd be like,
wait, there's a hat of the state of North Dakota?
Absolutely. Go Huskies.
I'm going to get a hat now in every state. Just for that. Take a picture of it.
Well, I was going to ask you what you were going to collect along the way, other than what you got from Lindsay Lohan.
Well, hats now, apparently, and venereal diseases. I don't know. Magnets, maybe. Maps. Picture. I don't. So, I'm not really a collector.
Speaking of blogging, no. What? Yes. What?
That's the smooth radio segue from the professional, right there.
Speaking of blogging, so you mentioned that you're bringing a GPS along with you, which is one of those global positioning things. So you.
It was actually something I wasn't even going to get, and I was given one by a friend. And now I'm addicted to it. It's one of those things you realize, like, how did I ever live without it?
Now, you're sure that this is not one of those joke GPSs that as you're driving off the edge of the earth? Because, you know, there be dragons.
Well, if I see any dragons, I'll take pictures of them and post them on my website.
Okay. Well, why don't you give us a plug for the blog, by the way?
The blog is randomshow.blogspot.com.
It's not web.mac.com/comedyguy?
No.
It won't make any sense to you until you hear this played back later. It's random.
That's great. I always hit a guest with a joke for something they haven't heard.
That's all right. Nobody laughs even if they have heard the joke.
Oh, that's shit. It's shit.
Exactly.
Randomshow.blogspot.com. Now, you've already been blogging there.
Yes, I have. I started about 2 weeks ago.
All right.
Posted the whole explanation of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And that's another thing I've become somewhat addicted to. Blogging's fun. It's fun to get all your thoughts out there for basically my parents and and Robin. Those are the only people who've actually seen it so far.
So it always includes a Christmas list. I'm so mad at the president, and I sure would like that new IBM laptop.
So you're going to try to blog once a day, multiple times a day? How does this whole thing work? It's kind of new to me.
Well, I mean, I'd like to try and do it once a day. Wireless connectivity is, of course, going to be a question and an issue. I've looked into getting those wireless cards that you can access throughout the country, like your cell phone service.
Right.
Those are semi-expensive, and they all lock you into a one-year contract.
Okay.
So it's not something I need when I come back. So, but then again, wireless hotspots and stuff are anywhere from $8 a day to connect to $40 a month for like Starbucks. So,
well, that wouldn't be bad.
When I have connectivity, I'm going to try to blog and try to do it once a day. So at least there's something for people to come back to, because if you only do it, you know, once a week or so, people aren't going to keep coming back.
We're talking with Jason Nathanson, who is on the 1st of May going to be heading out. Well, technically, he won't be heading out for quite some time after that. The 1st of May, he's going to just do what I do, which is make a slight little trip and then come back home again. When do you
I'm not coming back home.
Okay.
Hopefully, I'll be in a different state by the 4th. That's the goal.
And then when are you coming back? And you come back to California right after that, though, don't you? You said it was a box.
No. The whole trip is going to be a box. Okay.
Visual
aids.
Okay. Well, I got a pen. I'll write it down. How many cubits? Okay. Right.
I'm gonna head out, go up north, then maybe up to Yellowstone National Park.
All right.
Then down to Vegas by the 18th.
Okay.
And then head out east.
Okay, fine.
And that's going to be my box. That's kind of
that's not a box. No, we've just diagrammed that here in the studio. There's no box to
I
be
drew that.
There.
Yeah, that's a box only if you're slightly learning impaired.
Or drunk, which I am.
That's a heart rate and then dead.
So, are there, how do you figure out where you go the next day? Oh, no, that wasn't my question. My next question was, this was a question I had previously formed. Are you going to pick up hitchhikers?
Yes. Hitchhikers, no.
You will when you want to carpool.
If I want to get in the carpool lane, maybe. I don't know. I'm wary of
carpool. You're looking for the meaning of life in a carpool?
No, you pick up a hitchhiker and you use a carpool lane.
Just so you get in the diamond lane.
I understood it.
There are no diamond lanes in the middle of America. This is the heartland, my friend. There are no diamond lanes in the red states.
It's one great Thomas Kincaid painting.
Conserving and that kind of stuff out there?
Absolutely. Absolutamente, my friend. So what states are you not going to?
Basically, all of them in the middle.
Is that true?
Kind of Xing out the whole middle. I'm going to stay mostly along the coasts and the borders.
So this will be kind of a rim job.
Yeah, basically. I'm doing a United States rim job.
Why is that funny? I don't get it.
U.S. rim job. That was also a Seth Green film from...
Now, will you be taking suggestions from people on where to go next?
Sure. If anybody's got an idea, they can go ahead and post it at randomshow.blogspot.com.
That might be good.
Especially if they're cute and young girls, if they post a picture, I'll definitely hit them up.
What the hell's going on there now?
Now there's a helicopter.
It's the 8th Air Force.
There's probably a car chase going on somewhere.
Set for making people laugh. Did you know that's all
I recognize the airplane.
It isn't much, but it's better than nothing in this cockeyed caravan.
And are you bringing are you going to listen to radio as you go across the country? How are you going to
That's one of the things I'm most
sorry.
As you explained earlier, I am a huge radio kind of freak. And local radio is definitely one of the things when I'm driving in small towns I love listening to. So I'm going to try to get a feel of what's really going on out there in America.
You ought to stop
it. I'll probably be dominated by Sean Hannity and George Norris.
You need to stop into all the local stations and let them get you on the air for a segment.
You think that'll work?
What the hell? I mean, you've got the bona fides.
I am from LA, so I am.
You've got the bona fides. You've got KGO. They can call the PD up there. You're from KFI. They can call the PD there. People are interested. They're going to want to ask these kind of questions. You should try to get on the air. I mean, in every town, there's a KSCO.
That's kind of depressing. You didn't have to bring the show down.
I'm sorry.
That's a good idea. If I'm driving by a place and I happen to hear a radio station I'm interested in or a morning show, maybe I'll try to find it and stop on in. And who knows? Maybe I'll end up staying there and working there for the rest of my life.
I'm sorry.
We all know people who've done that.
Parviz is distracting me. He's pulled up his really too short nylon shorts. And he's like grooming himself.
It was like a moment of Wild Kingdom.
It was. I'm hoping that this is just a way of distracting me so that the lion can kill me. What the fuck are you doing, dude? I mean, I've been bored before, but I've never been that bored.
Well, he's just trying to keep his belt nice.
I want to apologize for Parviz.
This isn't TV.
I'm just glad I'm not in studio right now.
Yeah, well, we're sorry that you're not going to be able to do it. So the plan is that we're going to talk to you every week around the same time.
Yeah.
All right, and you'll have
and I will regale you with stories.
You'll
of
have
the road.
Tales of the road, which is terrific. Is there anything that we can do for you? Is anything that you're leaving on the first, right? So that's another 5 days. What are you doing? You're loading in provisions until then? You're kind of packing on the pounds?
I'm trying to figure out exactly, storage capacity and how I'm going to pack everything in and what I want to take and don't take. And at the same time, I also have to pack up all my stuff here and put it in storage.
Make sure you have enough pig arthritis formula.
Hey, Jason, make sure you take a camera with you, right? And ask the ladies.
Yes, I have a digital camera.
Make sure and ask the ladies to show their boobs.
On like your show all of a sudden.
And then put it on the blog.
It's Whip 'em Out Wednesday, dude.
Ask the hitchhiker, I'll take you across country right now if you show me your boobs. When she does, take off.
Okay, that's a good plan.
Why did you stop him from preening himself? He was all occupied.
It was so much better that way.
And I'm not sure of whether or not to be packing, carry some heat with me.
Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just speak.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, just speak. You'll disarm anybody with your knowledge.
My charm.
Yeah.
Or maybe get some mace.
Give me your money. Hey, what's going? Just start talking. They'll run away.
All right. So where do we speak to you? Think the first next week at this time,
Yosemite.
I think next week by this time I will either be in Pioneer, California, where my aunt and uncle live, or in...
you're gonna find, that'd be a good place to find yourself.
Yeah. Or in Yosemite. I haven't decided officially yet.
And how do you decide if the trip is a success?
You don't die.
If I don't die and I come back with a little bit of money. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what I'm going to go find out there. And I'm hoping if I come back and I've finished law school and I have a $200,000 a year job, that'll be a success.
All right.
But well, I happen to know that the president is counting on you to find Osama bin Laden. So,
also the real killer.
And OJ wants the real killers.
See, if I could have come up with something funny like that, that would have been better. But that's why I leave it to the professional.
All right. Well, listen, Jason Nathanson, we wish you bon voyage.
Wonderful travels. So, yeah.
Wonderful, safe travels. We'll be talking to you again next week. The website is randomshow.blogspot.com. How did you get that website, by the way?
It's a very interesting story that if you go to randomshow.blogspot.com, you can find out. But Robin Goldstein was the guy behind the magic there.
Yeah. Thanks. I tried to correct the gender, but he doesn't get it. Yeah. There's actually some magic behind the guy behind the magic. All right, my friend. Well, listen, happy trails, and we will talk with you a week from now, all right?
Thank you.
Take care, Jason. Bye-bye.
See you, Jason.
Take it easy.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.
It's Kerouac-y.
It is. It's very nice.
Thank you.
That was good. We waiting the whole time to...
Yeah.
Excellent.
Patience.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. We'll take a little break. We'll come back. You up for a plumbing update?
No, I have nothing to say.
Am I busting on you too much today?
No, you're not busting on me. I just don't understand why everything about me has to be said.
I find you fascinating.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
If you're looking at me grooming myself, you must be just as bored as I am.
Dude, you got this huge, giant man thigh. Just like, this is giant man thigh. I mean...
And by the way, these aren't short shorts. They're crunched up because I'm sitting...
Okay, that makes it better somehow. Wait, Jesus, I threw up a little bit in my mouth. All right? That's what I'm saying. And it's this kind of unnatural color. Like, I'm afraid if we turn the light off, it'll glow. It's so white. And then you're just, I don't know, you're kind of like, you were fascinated. And so I'm going, what the fuck is he doing?
I was in my own zone.
All right, take a break. Back on the other side. Schnauzer Logic, stick around.
Where the wind travels, she must follow. She will get inside. Yeah, I'm looking for a plumber.
Yeah.
Is this the right number?
Yeah.
Who's this?
This is Fred.
Okay, you're the
my employee is Jamal. Do you want to talk to him?
I want to talk to who's ever in goddamn charge.
I'm right here.
You're the man in charge?
Yeah, but Jamal's not here. Why are you yelling at me?
I'm just asking, are you in charge of doing plumbing?
Yes,
okay.
I am.
I got a plumbing problem. I was giving your number.
Why are you yelling at me? I'm just a plumber.
I'm not yelling. I'm just asking. Now
yes, I am a fucking plumber.
Okay. Now, I got a problem under my sink.
Okay, what's your problem?
I don't know. I'm not a plumber. All I know, it's backed up and it's making a weird sound there.
All right, we could come check that out if you want.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it, stupid?
Maybe the problem is you fucking... Oh, shit. Okay, can I have your address, please? Your name and address and phone number.
What kind of idiot are you?
I just need your phone number so I could come down and check.
You are a complete imbecile. I call up and you start, hitting me with profanities.
You're using a profanities. You called me stupid.
You know what? You are stupid.
You know, fuck you.
You got a monkey wrench in your pants, you idiot.
You're treating me like trash. I'm a plumber.
Yeah, well, plumbers are trash.
Oh, that's bullshit.
No, that's what's on your hands from cleaning my toilet, you monkey.
Oh, may I have your name, please, number?
I'm not giving you my goddamn name. I'm telling you that you are a pathetic little goon.
You are a fucking idiot. I could come and check up at your house and see what the problem is with your sink.
But you can't even come up with a sentence.
Oh, suck my dick.
No.
Fuck you.
No.
Jesus Christ.
What?
Fuck you.
You're a panty-waist little loser.
You
got about 9 cigarettes hanging out of your mouth, and you drive a Mazda B2000 1974 pickup.
Oh, you fucking jackass.
I'm trying to tell you that you're an idiot and that you're on the radio right now at Wild 94.9.
Oh, that bastard. Who was this?
Roderick.
Oh, that bitch. Oh, man, you guys are good. Damn. Man, we got tons of assholes who call up and do that shit.
You own your own business?
Yeah. I'm employed by this guy named Frederick.
Oh, okay.
Is this Elvis?
Yeah, Elvis.
Oh, damn, man.
How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
You ever listen to The Doghouse?
Yeah, man. Every morning.
All right, dude. Well, you have a good day, and we're just messing around with you.
All right. Thanks,
man. And, hey, you know what?
What?
Pull up your pants, dude. Your ass is showing.
Oh, man. Are you serious?
No. I'm just kidding.
All right.
See ya.
Bye.
When the ice comes and the snow, and it's 48 below, and then the temperature begins to fall, and they hear the moan and whine of the frozen water line, then the plumber is the man who saves them all. Oh, the plumber is the man, the plumber is the man. Down into the cellar he must crawl, he must crawl. He is not sleek or slim, and they all look down on him, but the plumber is the man who saves them all.
Welcome back. We are 32 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Sean Meehan, and the plumber, Parviz Vitali.
Commercial plumber.
Yeah. This is the terror of the world of residential plumbing. I love, by the way, and I only noticed it this time, the kind of Roots industrial percussion on the plumber song.
Yeah. The woman who performs this song, her name is Ann Zimmerman. And she's going to be a guest next week.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Yeah, we got her on the show next week. She is a Harvard-educated attorney who is also an award-winning folk singer. And I sent her an email, and she said, oh, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. And I said, we're just going to talk about what it's like to have two careers. I mean, I get that, and I think it'll be really interesting. So apparently Garrison Keillor, I think, wrote the words to The Plumber is the Man, and it's based on the old song, I was going to say, the old Negro spiritual, no, the old song, The Farmer is the Man Who Feeds
Sure.
Us All.
Sure, the farmer is the man that feeds us all.
Yeah. There you go. So we got a lot of production value for you. I mean, you think, you were upset, why are we picking on you?
I wasn't upset about that.
I mean, who shows you much love, my friend? I got more audio for you.
Than Sean?
No, well, I mean, I don't have any Sean audio, and Jason gave me his own audio, but for you, we got songs, we got audio. I got more stuff coming here down the road. You think that's it? We got Dick Cavett.
My dog is a plumber. Must be a boy. Although I must tell you, his favorite toy is a little play stove with pans and with pots, which he really must like because he plays with it lots. So perhaps he's a girl, which kind of makes sense, since he can't throw a ball and he can't climb a fence.
I'm going to rewrite the
but
words.
Neither can Dad, and I know he's a man.
Did Garrison Keillor write these?
She drives a van. Maybe the problem is in trying to tell just what someone is by what he does well.
Did you hear that Dick Cavett's coming back on the air?
No,
he's going to be doing a show.
Is he going to? Is it going to be a kind of a late night talk thing like he used to do?
Somebody is bringing back. I'm trying to remember now. This is off the top of my head. Somebody is bringing back a bunch of the old Dick Cavett show interviews. They're going to start rerunning them again. Maybe one of the cable channels. I don't remember. Which I think is great because he had some great interviews. We talked about it before with Groucho and Woody Allen. You know, and the kind of bigger minds of the day. And apparently, he's going to tape a few new interviews as well.
That would be wonderful.
Which would be terrific. So, anyhow, so we love you. Don't go changing to try to please us. Don't change the color. Well, that doesn't make any sense with you. All right, good. So, plumbing. How's the world of plumbing, my friend? Commercial plumbing, nothing residential.
So far.
All right.
So far.
You don't want to wind up like the guy in the on the phone call there.
No, I don't. Yeah, no. Did I understand properly that disaster was barely averted?
Thursday, last Wednesday I was here, everything was fine. Thursday morning at 6 o'clock I get to work.
All right.
By 6:30 I was on a 12-foot ladder and I'm putting up some copper piping and there were three steel pipes along my way and they were ended. They had caps on them. Right?
All right.
Or actually they didn't have caps on them. So two guys come onto the job. One has been on the plumbing world for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And the other one's been in there for 15 years.
All right.
And they're doing something called purging. They're purging the pipes. They're cleaning out the pipes of any kind of contaminants, and they're gonna connect two pipes and use an orbital to seal it.
I don't know what that is.
It's a machine they clamp on the pipe and it shoots heat and it melts it and it connects the pipe.
All right.
Okay. So apparently, when you use a purge, you shoot some sort of gas through this pipe, and then you have to cap it with a little tiny hole to purge it. Okay, trust me. That's what I'm learning. Okay,
Jason's trip plan makes more sense.
I understand. So there were three open pipes, and I'm on this 12-foot ladder, and the 15-year veteran comes up to me, gives me a cap, and he says, "Put this cap on the pipe." I said, "Okay."
Which pipe? Did he tell you which pipe?
Well, yeah. Well, what he does is he points, right? So I say, "I'm right next to the pipe." So I go, "This one?" And he goes, "Yeah, that one." I put it on that one, and apparently I put it on the wrong pipe, and the orbital that was on going around the bend of this building, which I couldn't see, the guy starts working on the pipe, and then about 10 minutes later, the 30-year-old veteran comes around the corner. And he goes, "Dude, you fucked up." I said, "What?" He said, "You fucked up." And he walks away, grabs his construction helmet, and he throws it on the ground, and he starts cussing. And I'm like, "What the hell? What the hell? What are you talking?" And then the 15-year veteran comes up to me and goes, "Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it." I'm like, "What do you mean, don't worry about it? He just told me I screwed up." And he threw his helmet. He was pissed. He was absolutely pissed. 2 hours later, he comes up to me, and he said, "Listen, I just have to tell you, we almost had a catastrophe. And blah, blah, blah. And we could have, that orbital cost $10,000.
Okay.
And he said, "I almost blew up the orbital. Somehow I almost blew up the orbital." So he said, "We almost had a catastrophe and I was very upset and I just caught it in time and blah, blah, blah. And it could have been very dangerous." I said, "Okay." I said, I feel terrible, but Tony told me to put it on this pipe." And Tony goes, "Yeah, Tony told me he told you to put it on the pipe." I said, "Okay, good. So we're clear." I was just following instructions. He goes, yeah. I just want to let you know, when I got mad, I was mad at the situation. I wasn't mad at you. So from that point on, I've been on pins and needles. Whenever somebody tells me, "Turn this knob," I'm like, "Which knob are we talking about?" He's like, "The only knob in front of you, moron." I'm like, "Okay."
You need a document to have them sign, so that blame assessment can be properly assigned later.
So yeah. This was last Thursday. Now today I worked with the guy that I pissed off, right? The guy who threw his helmet, John.
Okay.
I worked with him all day today and I've been working with him yesterday.
John's the 30-year guy.
John's the 30-year
guy. Tony's the 15-year guy.
Correct. And right. John, we've been hanging out the last 2 days and he's absolutely a fabulous guy. He's really nice, extremely right. knowledgeable. And I think he just met me that day and I screwed up. But as he got to know me, I think he realized, all right, this kid just, you know, it wasn't.
So you didn't screw up.
No, I didn't. But I mean, obviously, it was just a horrible feeling. I can't imagine my first job. I
didn't
could have screwed
you
up.
Tell him, though, right up front, "I know nothing."
He knew. Trust me. I wear a sign around my neck. Says I know nothing. Don't talk to me.
Were these three pipes next to each other?
Yes.
They were.
Yeah.
So, I explain. Do you understand the orbital?
Yeah, I think I do.
It sounds like it's a trolley of some kind.
It's just a clamp that goes on. It's a heated, and it's got this vacuum or this hose, and it's all it just spews out enormous amount of heat, and it melts the metal together. And it melts the metal together.
So you said that the orbital was coming around. So the orbital travels?
Yes. The orbital travels a pin that travels around the seam, around the seam of
coming
two pipes.
Around is not coming down the pipe.
Oh, it's not like a train.
Right.
It's not coming down the track.
It's rotating around the circumference
of
the pipe where it is trying to basically weld the two pipes together.
I see. So it does a welding in place kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
Without having to put some kind of joint.
Right.
All right.
And then what happens is they're running some sort of gas through this pipe to clean it.
And you cap the pipe that they were trying to clean. And so the pressure was building
up. Okay, what happened was all three of the pipes that were open were actually, they were all three capped. Okay? But the cap he gave me has a little hole on it to release the gas. And when I took off the cap, I put it on this pipe. And he was actually working on this pipe that already had a cap. So none of the gas was releasing. And the orbitals...
So it couldn't vent.
It couldn't vent. And then the heat of this, it could have blown up and ruined this machine and destroyed...
Could have killed people.
I don't know if it could have killed people, but it could have just ruined...
Trust me.
Okay. So when I... when this incident happened, it set them back like 2 hours because they had a cut and repaste and all this stuff. All this stuff happened. And they were just in a foul mood because here I am, a new apprentice that, you know, that... And I'm more pissed that, you know, like not that you would...
So how do you make sure that a mistake like that doesn't happen again?
You get the 30-year-old virgin. You get the 30-year-old veteran.
You think
or the
Tony 15- wants people to know that on our podcast,
No, you
dude?
Get the 30-year-old veteran or the 15-year-old veteran to double-check my work. And that's a fine line because I think there's some apprentice that go, what, you don't trust me? You don't think I know what I'm doing? And there's other people like
You're
me that go,
opposite.
Hey, I don't know what I'm doing. Check my work.
Trust me, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, so I'm like that guy that goes, hey, I can care less if you want to double check or triple check my work. So it got really bad. And then the rest of the week, not that they didn't trust me, but the work that they gave me was pretty...
Dude, I want to let you jiggle the handle of my toilet, okay? I mean, if you're looking for a reference.
But I understand this because you've presented them with kind of a logical conundrum, which is... You tell them that you know nothing, but in a certain sense, doesn't that undermine your claim to have no knowledge? I mean, a man who knows nothing cannot assess his own knowledge. I mean, I think we're in a Socratic conundrum, and I think you probably just blew John's mind, man.
Dude.
Well, this happened, almost a week later.
This happened at 4:20?
This happened at 4:20, dude.
This happened at 4:20, about 6:30 in the morning. But now a week later, everything is, you know, boiled over. It's fine. And John's a really nice guy. And that's it.
So that was one thing that happened all week.
No, that was one thing that happened last Thursday, which I was on the job for 3 days. And already I was like, oh, I remember thinking this is like 6:30 in the morning.
But what happened Friday? What happened Monday? What happened Tuesday?
I mean, I don't even know how to explain how mundane this job has been so far.
Was there thigh grooming?
But it's been so mundane that to the point where I'm like scrapping for something to do. Like I said earlier, I'm just dropping tools on purpose just to pick them up.
Now, are you more friendly with the other guys now?
A couple guys.
Because I know that you were fairly standoffish. You were taking your bathroom breaks in your car. No, lunch breaks. Sorry, you were taking your lunch breaks in your car.
Yeah, I still do.
All right,
I still do.
So you're not socializing with
anything? No, not yet. I mean, I'm social to the people on the job site. But, you know, they're talking a bunch of war stories for the past 15, 30 years that I'm like, whatever. I don't know these people. They're like, hey, remember Jack Ripper? So I'm just sitting there just doing whatever.
Jack Ripper?
I don't know. I'm just... What? Now, why are you attacking me of the name that I used as a reference?
Well, it's either Jack the Ripper.
No, we're not talking about Jack
Tripper.
Or Jack Tripper.
I could have said Jack Tripper, then you would be like, why do you always talk about Three's Company?
It's the Kobayashi Maru for you, isn't it? It's the no-win scenario.
It's a no-win scenario. Jack Ripper, Jack Tripper, Jack Taylor.
Norgay.
So anyways, it was an interesting week, and I'll give you next week an update to see if I destroy somebody else's life.
All right. You're digging this, though.
You know what? I'm to the point where I have to dig it, because I can't go back to Safeway.
Well, but there's other, I mean, there are other career choices. What kind of guidance counselor did you have in high school? All right, here are your two choices. Safeway, plumbing, commercial plumbing. Not that other plumbing. Not the kind of phone call where they goof on you in the morning, on the morning show phone. No. For you, we looked at the papers, Safeway or plumbing.
Or podcasting.
Choose one.
Or podcasting.
So you chose Safeway. Now you figure, oh, fuck, I've got nothing else to go. The list is longer.
There's a world of opportunity.
I know there's a world of opportunity out there, but I've committed to this, and I'm not quitting. I'm committed to this.
We're not trying to suggest that you quit.
No, I don't want to quit.
I'm not saying that the stories. I'm not saying that the stories naturally lead to the conclusion that you're going to quit.
I'm not going to. You know what? It's going to be a tragic day when I come into this iPod. This podcast. You'd be, how's work? I quit. That's going
to
be terrible.
No, I don't want you to quit. I want you to be happy either. And successful.
So do I, but I got to learn. I'm excited to learn, and I think these people are. And also, one other thing, I've got a foreman I have to see every day, a foreman. He's a brand new foreman.
George?
Sure.
George.
Curious.
It makes it more funny. It makes it more better. More better funny.
And he's new, so I'm uncomfortable on him. He's uncomfortable around me, so I don't even have like a 20-year veteran foreman.
Well, shit, I'm uncomfortable around you.
Somebody's got to break the sexual tension here.
I wish I knew how to weld you. All right, we'll take a break. Short break. Come on back the other side. We'll maybe talk a little filmage or such, and then we'll get our asses out of here, all right?
All right.
All right, you're listening to Schnauzer Lodge of the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Sean Meehan, Parviz Vitali.
Thank you for letting me vent.
You feel better?
Yeah, I feel better.
Listen, this is like therapy.
It is going to be like therapy. As a matter of fact, I'm going to start lying down on the floor and talking.
Well, we can move the mic for you. It'll work just fine. It's easy to pull out of the clip. And you just take it on the floor, and you can just lie down.
I think I might have to.
Whatever you need to do.
We are here
for you.
Thank you.
This is all about you.
Thank you.
This is the Parviz Vitali Schnauzer Logic Podcast with Robin Goldstein. But you're above... You're like...
But I tell you, Sean, Robin's more upset when you're not here. It might be all about me, but when you're not here, it's like, where's Sean? I go, but I'm here. Mm-hmm. Where's Sean?
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I've told you why. You want me to explain it again?
No, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
I'll explain it. I'll explain it for you. When you two guys are here, it means that you can carry on the show while I'm looking at the board and punching the buttons and making sure that all the other shit is working properly so that there are fewer glitches along the way. When it's just you and I have to pay attention to what you're saying.
Oh, so, thank you.
No. I mean, that's what makes interesting radio is
right.
I'm paying attention. Because you said in the past that the worst thing is you listen to the playback and you go, oh my God, I missed something, or like, I didn't hear what they said.
Right, right.
So I can't always pay attention 100% when I'm trying to figure out what's going to come up next. I'm looking at the clock, figuring out the time and stuff like that. And so when Sean's here, we've got another sentient being who can pay attention to what's going on.
Opinions vary.
All right.
Oh, I feel better. I do feel better. It's all off my chest.
He bought it. Stick around.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
we go.
Welcome back. We are 51 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast being recorded on Wednesday, April 26, 2006. Robin Goldstein, host, buddy, and pal, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, pat attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. www.schnauzerlogic.com. That's the webpage. That's the blog spot. Go over, say hi, leave a note. Tell Jason what where he should go. You were asking me during the break how old Jason is.
Yeah.
He's in his 20s, right? I mean,
yeah, should be in his kind of mid-ish, maybe
25,
toward
maybe?
Later, 25 to 27.
You think so? Yeah, something like
he
that.
He brought up the midlife crisis, so I assumed he was...
Yeah, well, he was kidding around, obviously.
Didn't find it funny, I'm sorry. I didn't know his age.
It seems kind of apocalyptic, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've only got till 40.
Well, wasn't there a road show that I remember growing up? I think it was Ben Gazzara. It was Run for Your Life.
Okay.
Run for Your Life. And Ben Gazzara was a guy with some sort of terminal disease.
All right.
And you know, it was one of those wonderful TV diseases where you show no symptoms until you die. And he had a year to live, and he was out on the road, and it was a Mary Worth story kind of thing where
okay.
he'd go into town and help a troubled teen relate to his parents or whatever. He'd help folks out, and then he'd move on to the next town.
Right.
And yeah, that was so there you go. Help me out here, somebody. I've dug in deep, and I throw down the rope.
The last thing I remember were the banana splits. That's about it.
So Mary Worth means nothing to you, is that what you're saying? You got Flugel and...
I got the banana splits.
Well, who
in
the
Frontier Village.
Give me the names of the banana splits.
I don't remember.
I just remember Flugel.
I just remember them slipping and sliding on the slide and how funny they were to me. And
do you remember driving the little cars?
Yeah, driving little cars, yeah. And they were part of the Frontier Village.
Can you sing the song?
Banana splits, banana splits.
That's not even close.
I know. What is it? Tell me.
One banana, two banana, three banana, four banana, six banana, seven banana, more.
All right, maybe I don't know the banana splits.
Yeah, you're thinking of.
What about?
I think you're thinking of the Crips.
What about the new? Wait, no. What about this one? How about the New Zoo Review? Remember those gigantic Muppets?
It's the New Zoo Review.
Remember those?
Coming out.
They had
for
normal
you.
Bodies, but gigantic bulbous heads.
And they had like a Mayor McCheese kind of character.
Yeah, and
though.
They had a hippo, which she had the scarf constantly around her arm.
It was a guy. It was gay. Sid and Marty Croft.
That was
the amazing world of Sid and Marty Croft.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Sid and Marty Croft?
Get him on the line next week.
They were sued into oblivion by Electra Woman and Dinah Girl. It was a sexual discrimination suit, and they lost it all.
Maury Povich.
Yes. Oh my gosh, 100,
I totally
100 big?
It.
100 the, mil or
tell
something?
Give people a little short here.
I don't know much about it. I just saw the headline, which is Maury Povich is sued for sexual harassment and to the tune of $100 million. So I imagine this isn't just a swat on the butt.
But not just him, like the producers, a couple other people, a producer and...
So the whole show. But they named him as being inappropriate or forcing her to watch things that she didn't want to see. Like the show, I guess. You can't make me watch it.
I'm suing your ass.
You know, he can always play the sympathy card, though, and look at who my wife is. Of course I was inappropriate. I think he gets him. I think he gets mileage from that.
Is that right?
I think Connie Chung gets him off.
He gets off.
No pun intended.
That would be amazing if he was.
You hear what he said?
Yeah, I heard what he said. Once again.
What do you think he deserves? Anything?
I don't think I deserve
crickets?
Anything.
Crickets.
There we go.
All right. Sorry.
I'm glad I didn't get the gunshot.
Oh, that's shit.
I love Kivadada. So you were mentioning that you'd seen a film.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You
I saw...
do a little, can you give us a little short review? Because I haven't seen this
sure.
yet.
Sure. I saw V for Vendetta.
All right.
Which is based on a graphic novel from the early 80s. I don't recall the name of the author.
All right.
But he was the same guy who did League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which mm-hmm. was turned into a terrible film a few years ago. Basically, it's sort of a not quite post-apocalyptic Britain, but Britain after some major world catastrophes. And right. it is...
the government has been seized by a sort of fascist Orwellian cabal, and a character, V, emerges who is intent on dismantling this government in a very violent way. And lovely young Natalie Portman is caught by circumstance in the web of events and becomes something of a pupil of his.
Written and produced by the fellows who did
Matrix.
Yeah, Wachowski brothers. All right. And you recommend this? Because I know that you're very discriminating. You see a lot of films, but not many in the theaters. That experience is...
That's
not
reserved.
Your fave. Yeah.
I thought it was very interesting. Some parts extremely compelling. A little ham-fisted in parts, a little operatic, but I enjoyed it and I would recommend it. Certainly, now it's probably only available to our domestic listeners on, will soon be available at least only on video.
On DVD.
Yeah, DVD.
This Friday, Flight 93 comes out.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
Not for me.
No, it's a little too soon?
I think I'm not a big fan of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Movies. Snakes on a Plane. There you go.
Jeez.
Now that I would see.
Unbelievable.
All right. And you've been watching the Idol tonight? They're going to vote somebody else off the show?
Yeah, tonight, by the time they hear the podcast, they'll have already voted somebody off. But yes, they'll vote somebody tonight. I think
it's going to be... So after tonight, how many folks are left?
Five after tonight.
And you got a prediction? Was it two men and three women?
Something like that, yeah.
Well, yes, obviously it's something
but
like
you know
it.
What? Last night they did Andrea Bocelli.
I thought tonight was Andrea Bocelli.
That was last night.
Okay, tonight
and
is...
tonight he'll be performing during the thing, but...
Is this a boring show? The results shows?
Oh, the results, is the only thing you care about is the last minute to see. The rest of it's just fluff and repeats.
Yeah, they're only like half an hour, right?
Yeah. It's
all
terrible.
Right. So you hear that Simon is not... not Simon. Paul is not talking to Ryan Sequest?
Okay, I didn't hear that. Why?
Because they had some kind of spew on the Tonight Show with
each other on.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't hear
Leno.
But I want to make a prediction right now on this podcast.
Please.
There will be some type of write-up about Paula Abdul this week. I guarantee it. Because she was so loopy last night. And she was so out of control that this was the first time I've heard that she's on medication or she's taking some sort of medication. But last night's show, it was the first time when I saw it, I thought, wow, you are truly out there.
Do you think I got a shot at her?
Yes. Because I think she's turning bi.
You think I got a shot at her?
Polar.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
It was a joke.
Yeah, she cried. She cried.
He hit a joke.
She cried.
Nailed it.
She cried during one performance and stood up during the next. She was out of control last night. Truly out of control.
I got a shot.
You're married.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, baby.
Misha got married.
It actually happened.
I was there. The little hottie got married. It's very sweet.
She's such
congratulations
a doll.
To Misha and Alan who got married last Saturday up in San Francisco. I was there.
Nice.
And got to witness the blessed event. And
was it a big show? Was it a do? Were the nuptials
small, about maybe 60 folks, something like that. Very small, very intimate. I was very taken with being one of the few folks that she invited. I thought that was kind of nice. All right. Well, listen, that's it. We're out of time. So You guys, have yourself a great week.
Thank you.
You too.
Come back with all your appendages.
I know. I need.
Don't
I
break
need to
anything.
Have all my fingers and toes next week.
All right.
And
every
week.
Until then, if the creek don't rise, good Lord willing, and ain't no meltdown, we'll see you next week. I love you, Mom. I miss you, Dad. Show up. Pay attention. Tell the truth, and don't be attached to the outcome. All right. And have fun. Take care. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.